This is Knowing Christ Radio with Dr. Rich Burkle, and we're so glad you've joined us today. We encourage you to join us each weekend as Rich helps us drill deeper with his expository teaching of Scripture. We pray that you'll be encouraged and challenged by today's message.
Why do we get discouraged? Oh, God's not answering my prayers. I don't think I'm going to pray anymore. Why would we do that when we know the character of God? We know his heart toward us. He's already demonstrated that love. He's demonstrated that generosity. He's demonstrated that responsive to us when he sent his own son, Jesus, when he redeemed us.
Listen as Rich introduces the second part of a message titled, Keep Going.
Thank you for joining us at Knowing Christ. We invite you today to open your Bibles with us to Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. Here Jesus teaches us an amazing parable for the purpose of helping us to persevere in prayer. Prayer is just simply communion with God. It's conversation with God. It's the way that we have a relationship with God. We listen to God by opening up his word. We talk to God through conversation and prayer. And Jesus knows that we often get discouraged in our life of prayer. And so Jesus' message to us is don't lose heart, don't give up, continue in prayer. Do not let discouragement keep you from prayer. Do not let doubts keep you from prayer. Do not let any delays, any neglect keep you from prayer, but pray, pray, pray. I trust that this message will be a great encouragement to you, a great joy, as it sort of opens a path for us to reinvigorated life of prayer. May God bless us as we open his word together.
Now, a wise parent or even grandparent doesn't always give a two-year-old exactly what they ask for. But we love that they ask. And we respond to them. We respond with generosity. We respond with wisdom. We want to respond to every request, even if it's not exactly meet what they are asking for in the moment. You know, the widow in this story, she has a right to have a very low view of this judge. And yet she's desperate enough to keep asking and asking. She thought that even an uncaring man like this guy might respond if she kept asking, and so she asked. And here's Jesus' point. How much more motivation do we have to pray? Why do we get discouraged? Oh, God's not answering my prayers. I don't think I'm going to pray anymore. Why would we do that when we know the character of God? We know his heart toward us. He's already demonstrated that love. He's demonstrated that generosity. He's demonstrated that responsive to us when he sent his own son, Jesus, when he redeemed us. You know, I love the word that God gave to Jeremiah about this. You know, Jeremiah is the weeping prophet. He had a tough message. He had to go to his people and tell them, hey, Babylon is going to conquer our nation. And King Zedekiah, you're going to be captured and taken away. And he had to do it while Babylon was actually circling the city of Jerusalem. Can you imagine how unpopular that is? You're in the middle of a war. You're trying to fight against the Babylonians, trying to protect the city. You're staving them off for months and months and months and months and months. And here's this guy that keeps saying, hey, they're going to come in, break down the city. They're going to beat us. And they're king. They're going to take you, and they're going to take you captive off to Babylon. So he was labeled a traitor. How tough would that be? And he didn't ask for this job. God gave it to him. He says, you got to be faithful. This is a message I'm giving. You have got to go and tell the people. I don't want to tell people that. They don't like it. Well, you got to tell them. So he told them, you're a traitor. How dare you? You're for the Babylonians. Get on the team. You know what they did? They threw him in prison. How dark of a season of Jeremiah's life must have been as he called out to God, and then he was faithful to God, obedient to God, doing God's ministry, and everybody just called him a traitor. They threw him in prison. Everybody's glad for it. Can you imagine how hard that must be? And it wasn't a beautiful prison. It's a terrible prison. And he's in this stinky, dark place. And then look at what Jeremiah says. He writes, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a second time. God says, Jeremiah, I have a word for you. He says, thus says the Lord who made the earth. Jeremiah, no, it feels right now like I'm so weak I can't even keep you out of prison. It feels like you're so isolated that I don't even hear you, but I want you to know I am the Lord who made the earth. That word Lord is that covenant name of God. I am your Lord. I'm the one who keeps the covenant to be faithful to you, Jeremiah. I'm the Lord who formed this universe and established it. the Lord is my name. In other words, I've set my love upon you and upon this people. And then he says this, so Jeremiah called me. And I can only imagine Jeremiah in the midst of that dungeon is thinking, man, I don't think I want to pray anymore. I don't know if God hears me. Have you ever been there? I don't even know if God hears me. Why? What's the use? Jeremiah called to me. I called you yesterday, God. And nothing happened. I'm still in the prison. Jeremiah called to me. But I've been doing that for weeks and months, and Jeremiah called to me. Call and keep calling. Jeremiah, here's my promise. I will answer you. And I'm going to tell you some great, mighty things which you've not even thought about. That's what I'm going to do. Now, Jeremiah receives this word, and what does he do? He says, I'm going to believe it. And God did show him great and mighty things. God fulfilled everything and vindicated Jeremiah. You know, we sometimes lose heart in prayer because we have too low a view of God. We forget that he's the God who created the world. We forget the God that he is the Lord. He's the covenant-keeping God who's always faithful, who loves us and brought us into his family. The second reason why we fail in our praying is we have too high a view of ourselves. We think we can work out our own problems. We think we can find a way without bothering God to get what we need done. When I was a youth pastor in Texas, I was in seminary. We didn't have a lot of money. We had this old beat-up car. It was a Dodge Colt in Texas in the summer. Had no air conditioning. So, what was that? 2x60 air conditioning, you know? Roll them down, try and get going 60 miles an hour. Cool off the car. And it rattled and shook and, you know, drank a lot of oil, burned it up. So I was almost always at the end of a service, the last person to leave the building. And this time I noticed there was a woman or two daughters there, and she was a wife of a very successful Dallas lawyer. They were often so generous to us, Kimberly and myself, but also to our youth group. They would have us over to their house, the youth group, for a lot of pool parties and a lot of other events. It was really sweet. But I said, well, hey, well, you know what, you're hanging around here. She says, yeah. She says, I need to ask you a question. What is that? I said, well, would you give us a ride home? What do you mean? What do you need? She says, well, about a month ago, we bought a new Jaguar, and it's out in the parking lot there. It won't start again today. Happened 2 weeks ago, did, and my husband, Billy, he said, we just need to walk home. And so we walked home, and I'm not going to ruin another pair of shoes, she says, walking home. So Billy didn't want to ask you, and so he walked home. I'm not going to walk home. I'm going to ask you. Will you give me a ride home? And my daughter said, oh, sure, I'd love to. And so we drove him home. And of course, you know, again, driving up to this really beautiful big house, this old beat-up thing. But the point, so many of us are like Billy. Billy's a great guy. He just had a hard time raising a hand saying, I need some help here, and the only person that helps me is this person here. I had a hard time. I can handle it myself. I can handle it myself. And we often are like that. And you know what? He did get home, and he did make it. But it's our pride that keeps us from seeing God do things for us that we could never do for ourselves. Third reason that we don't ask. Not only do we have too low a view of God, too high a view of ourselves, but we wonder whether prayer makes any difference. That leads us to the second lesson. God loves perseverance in prayer. God loves perseverance in prayer. Unlike the judge in the story, God doesn't get irritated by our constant pleadings, quite the opposite. When we pray, we're like children who want God to answer immediately and completely, and so we get really impatient with God. We think, oh, God, prayer must not work because God doesn't work in this time frame that I am anticipating him or in this way that I want him to work. And what Jesus is saying, hey, don't lose heart. Keep praying. Pray without ceasing. Your heavenly Father, he's the creator of the world. He loves you. He's all wise. He's never late with his provision. He's always on time. His delays are always, always our gain. And we don't see that now when we have this pressing need. But trust him. Trust that that is so. When we were praying for little Asher, you know, I was just wanting any moment for Danny to call me or to text me and say, everything's fine. And it was hours of not knowing, waiting. And then it was some days of knowing even more before he finally arrived home some 3 days later out of the NICU. But you know what? Looking back on that, I'm so glad that God had us wait for those hours and then those days. I know for some folks it's weeks and months and years, but looking back on that, you know what? There's so many sweet things that happened because I didn't get an immediate answer. First, Kimberly and I, along with some others, we entered into a sweet fellowship with God, a dependence upon Him that we wouldn't have known. And then when He did answer, there was greater joy. There was great enthusiasm that God was so gracious to us. In the midst of it, there was this overwhelming peace that came upon us, even when it started with such fear and anxiousness, that the prayers of others and the promises of God's word gave us a confidence about His sovereign plan, whatever that would be. And all that was a gift. Jesus' parable teaches us that God loves persevering prayers and that He works through prayer to strengthen our faith, to deepen our joy, to enlarge our gratitude. Once again, the language of this ungodly judge in the story is, because this widow keeps bothering me, another translation, it keeps pestering me, is driving me crazy, one translation reads, I'll give her justice, so that she'll not beat me down by her continual coming. And that word beat me down, it's a metaphor taken from fighters who beat their adversaries with fists. And that's what she kept doing. She kept coming. Now, again, it's metaphorical. She's not violent, but she keeps coming and coming and coming. And God, Jesus says, look at that woman. Pray like that woman is pleading with this unrighteous judge. That's the way we pray to God. God loves it when we treat Him as a God who's going to be faithful, who's going to be generous, who's going to be wise, who does care. Our perseverance in prayer is necessary for our spiritual growth and for our joy in God. If we find a child receives everything that they ask for immediately without any delay, you'll find a child who doesn't have much joy in their lives. You'll find a child who doesn't think much of his or her parents and their provision. You'll find a child whose soul is shrinking inward. It is said that God has three answers to our prayer: yes, no, and wait. I would change that to say yes, wait, something better. So it is a no, but it's never no, just pfft, it's something better. He hears us and He responds by granting us something greater than we were asking for. God is so wise in the way He answers our prayers and His timing of His answers. Look at verse 7 and 8. Will not God give justice to His elect who cried Him day and night? Will He delay long over them? I tell you, He'll give them justice speedily, speedily. I love the story of Mary and Martha when Lazarus fell ill. They prayed to Jesus. In other words, they sent message to Jesus saying, Lazarus, still come. And John 11, we read it, Jesus intentionally delayed 2 days. And He tells us why, so that God would be glorified. And He finally gets there, and Lazarus is already dead. And Martha, she does what's right. She says, Jesus, if You'd have been here, Lazarus would still be alive. And Jesus then comes alongside of her, and He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in Me will never die. He who lives and believes in Me, even though he dies, yet he's going to live. Do you believe this, Martha? And it's through that story and through that delay that Martha saw more of the glory of Jesus Christ and received more of the joy of God in her life. But let me ask you, do you imagine at the time Martha's really distressed that Jesus delayed? She's still trusting, but she's telling Him, I'm bothered that You delayed. And I think that's fine to pray to God that way, provided we pray in faith. We bring that concern to Him. But do you imagine that Martha is somehow upset today that Jesus delayed? Don't you think, thank you for delaying. I didn't know all the great gift that you would give me as a result of that delay. We can trust him. We can trust God. Third lesson, God especially hears the prayers of his elect. Look at verse 7. This is really encouraging to me. Will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? You know, the doctrine of election, it's mysterious, it's deep, but it's incredibly practical. We can't throw this doctrine away. Jesus does it. Jesus brings it up here in a simple story. It's a profound truth to bring into a simple story such as this. But Jesus' application regarding prayer is that, hey, this doctrine of election is so important. It helps us to persevere when we wonder whether God hears. When we understand that God has chosen us in him, we will persevere in prayer because we know that God never ignores the prayers, the petitions of his elect. Never, never. He never gets tired of answering the prayer of his chosen ones. Our election is great medicine to doubts that rob us of perseverance in prayer. Again, our flesh, it often whispers, well, what's the use of praying? I prayed for my mom to be healed of cancer, and she died. I prayed for my husband to stay with me, and he left. I prayed like Hannah to have a child, and I'm still without. What is the use of praying? It seems like God doesn't answer my prayers. And the remedy for this discouragement is to drive these hurts to the Father who chose you in him before the world began. Before you're born, he set his love upon you, and he blessed you with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. And he does not abandon those whom he elects, never, ever, ever. If you are in Jesus Christ, remember how you got there. It is one of the most encouraging truths to recall in order to help us persevere. How did I get to be connected to Jesus Christ? And the answer is that God, in his saving power, in his electing love, opened my heart so that I would be drawn to him and I would believe in him. And if God does that to me before the world began, would he ignore and turn away from a prayer of one whom he has done such blessing, such created power to redeem? And Jesus answers, no, no, no. Will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? The last lesson that I think we can draw from the story is that God knows that few will pray at the end of time. And this is sobering. Jesus ends this not on a high note, but on kind of a very solemn thought. He says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? First, the Son of Man is looking for faith. He's looking for faith in us. So the question is, will he find faith when he comes again, when he returns? We tend to think that things that are popular are worth having and things that are not popular are not worth pursuing. So we look at, you know, the stars items on Amazon to see if is it really something worth buying or something not. You know, a lot of stars, okay, I might buy it, or a lot of stars, I might go there to eat. A few stars, I don't think I will. All based on what other people think. And what Jesus is saying, hey, I got to teach you this on how to persevere and pray, to pray always, not give up. And I've got to tell you something. If you're living at the end time, and I believe you are, and I believe I am, don't look around for stars about praying, because there's not a lot of people who will be praying. In other words, don't look and say, I think my prayer life is pretty good compared to that person over there, that person over there, that person. In fact, most of my friends. I would say even in the church, don't look at the other around and say, oh, that's a good measure. You know, if other people are doing it, I'll do it. If other people aren't doing it, I don't need to. He says, hey, listen, at the end of time, hardly anybody's going to be praying. It's very convicting, isn't it? He says, this is the nature. It's not because I'm failing in my sovereign design for this world. In fact, when you see that happen, know I'm succeeding, because I'm telling you that's what's going to happen right before Jesus comes to set everything right. But he tells his disciples this so that we would raise our hands, say, Lord, find faith in me. Do a work, man. I want to humble myself before you to do a work of grace that is so transformative and so radical that I look really different from almost anybody around me in relationship to prayer. That's what I want. Lord Jesus, teach me to pray. three applications I want to encourage you with. One, set aside this week, just set aside 10 minutes each morning to pray. Just begin and begin with saying, Lord Jesus, teach me to pray. Just have a conversation with God. You talk about the important things that are important to God. You talk about things that are important to you. Just begin. Just begin. It's the application. It's just sort of the most basic application of the story. Jesus has given us enough for us to begin. Secondly, I would say ask your elders to pray for you. It builds a culture of prayer to do that. Pray about everything and anything. James 5 says for sure to ask your elders to pray for you when you're sick. Don't think, well, my sickness, there's a lot of people who are sick. My sickness isn't worth that. No, it builds faith to ask. I was talking to a gentleman in our church who 15 years ago, the elders went into his home to pray for him. The doctors gave a very grim prognosis about his cancer. And for 15 years, remarkably, he's been in remission, but it came back just a little while ago, and he's on medication again. And I said, do you remember when we prayed? He says, do I remember? He said, that was the highlight of my life. He said, I can't believe what God did in my heart that night. And he says, I just wish that everybody in the church would call the elders to pray and experience what I experienced. And I just believe that as we begin to humble ourselves, and I know it's humble, we want to walk home instead of ask the youth pastor, would you take me home? We want to do that. I got this. But it robs, you know, it was such a blessing for me to give to that family. It was a blessing I trust for them to receive. And it was a lot more pleasant of a trip, even in my little car, than it was walking. Ask your elders especially to pray. And the last thing, you know, again, this five-minute challenge before you leave today, 3 to 5 minutes, look around and not instead of greet, just say, how can I pray for you this week? Even if you don't know the person that you greet, just say, what's your name? How can I pray for you this week? And then pray, and then look for that person next week and see what God does. I think that especially when we start on that kind of journey, God loves to show his power very quickly when we begin to step by faith.
Thanks for listening today. Rich will wrap up the message in a moment. Won't you consider listening each week to this broadcast? Invite your friends to listen also. Now here's Rich.
Well, thank you for joining us at Knowing Christ. We pray that this message has been an encouragement to you in your life with God and your walk with him, in your communion with him through prayer. Truly, nothing is more vital to the joy of our souls than for us to learn how to listen to God through his word and how to talk with God in prayer. And what encouragement Jesus has given us today through Luke 18, and we want to continue to encourage you in your life of prayer. And we want to offer you a free gift, a gift of a book entitled A Praying Life by Paul E. Miller. This book has made an important impact on my life and in my encouragement to continue communing with God through prayer, and we trust it'll be a great encouragement to you. So if you would like this book, please contact us. Let us know that this ministry has been an encouragement to you, and simply ask for A Praying Life by Paul Miller. We'd love to give this gift to you as an expression of our love for you and our prayer for you. May God bless you.
If you'd like to hear this message again, go to our website and listen or download a copy for free. And if you've been blessed by this ministry, would you please communicate with us? It's such a blessing when we hear what God is doing through this broadcast. Go to knowingchrist.org. That's knowingchrist.org and select the Contact Us tab. We look forward to your feedback, and please let us know what station you're listening to. Knowing Christ is the broadcast ministry of Dr. Rich Burkle and Bethany Baptist Church.